You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food. Culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. I spotlight good food fighters and the culture of the good food movement. From chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking print restaurant and summer bounty meal planning. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, our live call-in number is 718-497-2128. Hot Grease loves pastries. And in the studio, we have Heather Carlucci Rodriguez.
Carlucci.
Like Susan Lucci. Heather is the pastry chef of Print Restaurant in Manhattan's Hell's Kitchen. Heather, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thanks for having me.
So, oh my gosh, Heather, you know, I fell in love with you, with your chocolate bread at the 10 Top Pastry Chocolate Chefs Cooking, whatever. I don't even remember the name, but the one thing I remember is the chocolate bread.
That's all that matters.
Yes, it's like heaven on earth, and you brought it here. Oh my gosh, tell me about this chocolate bread.
Well, it's just a rustic Tuscan loaf, and really what I wanted was melted chocolate and bread. I didn't want to do fondue, I didn't want anything like that. So it's a rustic Tuscan loaf, and it's got cardamom and a little bit of hazelnut flour and some fresh ginger and big chunks of chocolate.
So you brought it here today. You brought the Salvatore ricotta and the honey on the side. Yeah. But when you serve this in the restaurant, is it like mixed in?
No, I serve it like that.
Oh, really?
You get a big piece of the loaf, and then you get a side of the Salvatore ricotta, and then you get a side of the Catskill Provisions honey.
So this Catskills Provision honey, is this from the Catskills?
It is, from Long Eddy, New York.
Okay, so have you visited the farmer?
Oh, yeah. I visited the apiary. Claire Marin is the woman, the apiarist, I think it is.
I have to try. I'm a honey lover.
Beekeeper. And, yeah.
Oh, wow. It's a really great taste.
It is. And it's a little more earthy floral.
Yes.
Than earthy. And it's not too floral. So I kind of like that middle ground, especially for the chocolate.
Yeah, because I'm used to having New York City, the urban honey, and it's a little lighter. But this is great. I have to get a piece of the monkey bread now. just taste. Oh, my gosh. You literally, folks, I'm going to take a picture and put it on Twitter. You can just take a bite. I'm eating it really crazy because I'm not at your restaurant. I'm just going to dip it.
That's
in the honey.
Actually how it gets eaten at my restaurant.
Oh, really? People yeah. Dip it in like
people
this.
Just dip and smear and do whatever they have to do.
So your other desserts. The grilled apricot dessert. I'm not an apricot fan, but now I have to come by and see what it's all about.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. We serve it with cherry pit gelato, which gives it a little bit of an almond flavor, and a cardamom twill, and some beautiful frangipane, like a really moist almond cake, make it like an all-natural paste.
You said cardamom twill. What is that?
Well, twill is like a really thin cookie, like the crispy. A lot of people just use it as a garnish. And we flavor ours a little bit of, actually, a little bit of ground espresso. So you get that deep coffee flavor, almost a little bit bitter, and freshly ground cardamom.
Okay, so maybe I can be a convert and come over. You mentioned, did I hear you just say something about cherries?
Yeah, cherry pit ice cream.
Okay, yeah. I have to talk cherries and cherry pitters.
All right.
So I put out over Twitter the other day, I had a big thing of cherries that I didn't even get around to pitting because my husband ate them. I was going to actually make something, but I was like, okay, any recommendations on a cherry pitter? No one came back with like real pitters. They came back with, oh, use a toothpick. And oh my gosh, people had so many creative ways. What do you use at your restaurant?
Well, we use two things. Because we do everything for the bar in-house, which is, you know, the bane of the pastry chef's existence nowadays, we use a traditional cherry pitter, that little squeezy thing. Yeah. It almost looks like a garlic mash with a peg in it. We use one of those because we don't want to cut it. We want it whole for the Manhattans before we brandy it. Other than that, I use a paring knife.
Oh, really?
That's it. Cut it in half, pull out the pit. That's
so have you heard of all these other alternatives of folks doing it with the toothpick? What else did I hear? I have to go back through my Twitter feed to remember what else folks
I stick
saying.
To what works.
I know, right?
That's a cherry pitter.
Right. I was like, that seems like a lot of work to take, like, to do it without a cherry pitter.
Yeah, I'm pretty basic.
Yeah, we like basic. What other desserts? What are your other signature desserts at Print Restaurant?
Oh, another dessert we're really excited about right now, just because of the whole seasonality, is we do a corn panna cotta, and we serve it with a milk jam, which is like caramelized milk, almost like a lighter version of dulce de leche, with cherries, with lightly cooked Morello cherries, so they're a little bit sour. Mm-hmm. They're actually the same ones we use for brandying for the bar, but we don't brandy them, so we keep them a little more tart. And I guess what would be called now an espresso soil, but it's really just a chocolate espresso streusel, really finely ground.
Oh my God!
Yeah, with the Morello sorbet.
So I'm assuming that your desserts are actually changing seasonally as well. You're looking at what's in season. I guess that's a little harder in the winter months.
Yeah, it's, you know, it gets challenging in the winter months. I mean, we don't get, you know, we try to stay as local and as traceable as possible, but obviously we live in a sort of global world and there's a certain reality check. So, you know, come the winter months, citrus is in season and we do have it brought in and we know where it comes from. We know the farm.
Exactly.
We know, you know, what they're doing on the farm, but we do bring it in.
So I'm starting this tradition. Every chef that comes into Hot Grease or Heritage Radio Network Studios, I have to ask them about red velvet cake. I'm not going to get Jack to make this real of, you know, every time I talk about red velvet cake. I'm from the South, Heather.
Yes.
What are your thoughts? Where can you find the best red velvet cake? Is it here in New York City? And how do you feel about these folks coming up with creations that's everything red velvet, like the red velvet ice cream and the red velvet whoopie pie?
You know, it's like every other trend. You know, once you do it, you got to do it for everything. But where have I had the best red velvet cake? Is in somebody's home in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, long, long time ago. And it was the first and my favorite. You never forget your first, and that was definitely the best.
So are you saying that you can't, I'm just for the record, are you saying that you cannot find authentic red velvet cake?
I would not say that. I haven't had it as good as that.
Okay.
One day.
Okay.
I'm welcome. Bring it on. I want that cake.
Yeah, I think a friend, Nichelle Stevens, she's been on the show for a while. She has a blog called Cupcakes Take the Cake. I think she's planning a red velvet cake debate because everyone is talking about this in the fall. I have to make sure you're there.
Oh yeah, I want to be there.
So we're gonna take a yes, you need to be there. We're gonna take a short break. Listeners, keep listening, and we're gonna talk more Print Restaurant.
Wow.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. We're spotlighting a dining spot all about seasonally sourced ingredients. We're talking with Chef Heather Carlucci Rodriguez. Her three-star desserts can be found at Print Restaurant in New York City. Before we get into the food, I have to ask you about Farm Hearts.
All right.
Farm Hearts is an organization that's based in the Catskills, right?
It is. We are a board of nine members who came together as landowners up in the Catskills. Originally really concerned about the movement of the hydrofracking coming into our area and affecting the land. What we ended up doing and deciding not to go as anti-drilling as we go pro-farm. We decided that anti wasn't going to be good. We wanted to be a positive force and really help the farmers in need in the area. And even if these farmers were in fact pro-drilling, we wanted to really be on the side of the farmer, because we're in the situation now in this very depressed area because the odds have been against farmers, even farmers who are, you know, big part of big dairy.
I love that you're not just about food, but you're dipping into food politics. What are your thoughts about chefs not doing that, or should they be doing it? Is it a responsible thing to do, to dip into food politics?
I don't want to judge anybody,
yeah,
for sure. But, you know, the fact is for me, I find it's a responsibility. I mean, food, you know, gives me shelter. It's not just the thing that keeps us healthy if we do right. It correctly, which we really have to learn how to do, but it really is, it's the thing that, you know, pays my rent. And the fact that I can do it and people pay for it, you know, puts food in my kids' mouth and gives me a good lifestyle in a difficult city. And I think it's really important that we support the people that are out there digging in the dirt, literally, and giving us everything with the medium we have to work with.
Speaking of medium, your website. I absolutely love your website. I was like, wow, you can go on here. You can get great information. My favorite little corner is the Forager's Corner, which is essentially your blog.
It's actually the blog for our forager. We have the... I don't want to say luxury, though it seems to be, but it really is sort of like the necessity of having somebody who, while we're in the kitchen, and I work with her closely, the chef works with her very closely, to go to the farms and create the relationships between us and the farmers and make sure that the farms that we're using, and this is really important, the farms that we're using are using the methods that we prefer them to use, and that they in fact see that we're a restaurant that they approve of as well. A lot of farmers, you know, they take what they do to heart, and it's really important to them, and I feel the same way. We've unfortunately come across a couple farms that we've gone to visit that didn't say that they were doing what they said they were doing. And then other ones who do go above and beyond anything I could imagine.
So your forager is essentially updating. She's talking about definitely the food that's in the restaurant, but she's also talking about trips to farms.
Oh, yeah.
And she's basically giving, you know, us insight or a lens into what's going on at Print Restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, we're very lucky to have her name is Johanna Kolodny, and she is... has educated herself her entire adult life on the food system and how to support it. And lucky for her, she sort of came into age at a time when a job like this is readily available. It's not like somebody who was saying,
yeah,
I have all this great education and for what? But we've been able to really access it. And as we do things like look for farmland for the restaurant or deal with other issues that come into that, whether it's being involved in the community that is, you know, sustainable food in the city.
Yeah.
She is our connection to that without us having to do the, you know, even more work, because we are a big operation for such a sustainable restaurant.
I love how you're connected to, I'm going to call them startup because I heard about them definitely a few months ago, called Real Time Farms. They're about five, maybe a half dozen restaurants or here in New York City that are connected to Real Time Farms.
Yeah. RealTimeFarms.com. We actually met the people who started that at the TEDx event in January. And they're a young couple and they put this thing together. And what you can do is you can find, you can go either through the restaurant, through the farm, or through the farmer's market and find everything that connects all those things together. So if you go on and you click on Print Restaurant, our menu pops up. And as you scroll over the description, suddenly where each item in the menu came from pops up, and then you can, it'll say the farm in a pop-up, and then you can click on that pop-up and go right to the farm, any information about the farm or their website if they have one.
Yeah.
Or the, wherever it may be, the farm stand where they have in their farmer's market.
Yeah, and if folks are listening, if you go to realtimefarms.com, you can essentially put in, if you're in the Bay Area, you can put in Oakland, California, and anyone, any restaurant that's signed up for Real Time Farms, they'll all pop up.
Yep.
So it's a really cool thing. It's that a lot of folks may not know about, but I think it's a great way to kind of see the food system in action.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. And it really brings attention to those farmers that usually don't get the attention they need.
So Print's current menu. Yeah. So I've had the chocolate bread. I have more I have to eat after this show. I have to come for dinner. What's on the menu for dinner?
Well, I cheated and I brought the menu because we change it so often. We change it a lot, obviously, because whatever comes in the back door is what we're serving. But we have, you know, a lot of great corn right now, a lot of sweet corn. We have a lot of great fava beans. The tomatoes, obviously, now are perfect. We do a great grilled peach with our Berkshire pork chop. It's fabulous. We're also big on radishes. That's sort of a year-round thing. So we have a beautiful watermelon radish now with our braised short ribs with some roasted carrots. Braised short ribs, I mean, it's a little heavy, but that sells no matter what. So we just keep it going.
Hey, short ribs, pork chops, why not?
It's all good, yeah. And my favorite thing on the menu is the grilled salmon with grilled zucchini and fennel. And like a pine nut currant brown butter.
Oh my gosh, that sounds excellent.
It's delicious.
So I saw that you guys were like featured in the New York Times press about your rooftop.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this rooftop is supposed to be like the bomb.com.
It supports our sustainability habit. We say that because that's you know. That's the cash shot right there.
So I know if you have a great view of the city, you definitely have the best cocktails. You were talking a little bit about some of the cocktails. Do you have a signature cocktail at Print?
Right now, what's running really big is something called the Pink Slip. And
what's in that?
It's with red currant puree because we get those fresh in right now.
Where did that name come from?
Where did we get? I'm trying to remember. Oh, we did an event. We did an because you know the roof is quite popular. It gets bought out really often because it's almost 360 views and it's right on the river. It's pretty spectacular, and it's a more low key crowd because there's no DJs, there's no promoters, so it's pretty chill. And we were doing an event. It had to do with, I think, with jobs and employment, if I remember the thing. So it was about that.
I love the name.
Yeah.
So folks need to check you out. You're on social media. Print is on Facebook, right?
Yeah, we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Me and the Forager are both on Twitter. Both. She's at Print Forager, and I'm at Honest Food.
And printrestaurant.com is your...
Printrestaurant.com. That's where you find us.
So do folks need reservations? Do they go on Open Table or can they just...
They can do Open Table. We do a lot of walk-ins as well. But, you know, give it a shot. I always say we're in such an odd area because we're all the way on 11th Avenue with the car dealership.
When I read that, I don't think it's an odd area because the thing is when you get on that side and you're like, okay... Do I just need to go back to the other side of the island to get food? So if you're over there, this is like a no-brainer.
Yeah, because there's nothing else.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean,
it's been amazing. I can't believe how successful this has been as an opening venture. It's been phenomenal.
So folks who are listening in New York City, if you have not checked out Print, you need to go by. You need to get the chocolate bread. You need to try to get on the roof. You need to get whatever is on the menu.
Thank you.
And if folks who are coming into New York City and, hey... Go to Print Restaurant. Heather, thank you so much
for joining us
on Hot Grease. I cannot wait to get done so I can, like, devour this dessert. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Listeners, keep listening. We'll be back with more Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
love. American me. American you. American tear. American heartbreak. Oh, oh, oh.
I took a walk with the palm trees as the daylight fell. Sangria in the canteen, talking to myself. This tattoo on my left hand is turning purple as blue. Daydreams of the romance, daydreams of you. My pretty woman in a ball gown, I'm with your gear and a tux. Getting married in the courthouse, writing vows in a rush, like an owl before the judge. My teenage wife got a wedding band done that I just might die with. It's an American wedding. They don't mean too much, but we were so in love. We had an American wedding. Mine is yours. That's American love.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced and engineered by Jack Inslee. This program is being sponsored by Whole Foods Market. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. Now that you're in the know about Print Restaurant, what about the basket of CSA veggies and farmers market finds? In the studio to chat home cooking with your summer bounty is Marina Berger.
Hello, Miss.
Hello. Marina is a New York-based personal chef. Actually, welcome back to Hot Grease.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
So first up, Marina, I have to ask you about two, I call them what the hell veggies. Like, what the hell? And that's kohlrabi. And I got in my CSA share lemon cucumbers, and I left them out, and they got all moldy and black.
Ooh. I can't help
yeah
you with
so
that.
What the hell, what the hell, meaning like when I got the kohlrabi, I'm like, what do I do with this? And then lemon cucumbers, the same thing. I was like, what do I do with this? But then I didn't get a chance to do anything with them.
So I'll start with the kohlrabi. I know that it looks like an alien, and people are basically don't know what to do with it. It is pretty easy to work with because you could peel it and eat it raw, like carrot sticks type thing, with like hummus or whatever. But if you actually want to cook it, you can stir fry it, or you could just saute it with garlic and olive oil, which is always my first thing that I do with any new vegetable, is saute it with garlic.
It tastes like broccoli.
It does. It tastes like broccoli stalks. It has that sweetness and that crunch.
Okay, this is a question I have about the kohlrabi. Do you have to, can you just take a veggies brush and just scrub off the dirt?
I would
do
not.
So you do need to peel the kohlrabi.
It's a really tough peel, a lot like broccoli stalks. It gets stuck in your teeth.
So, okay, so you're saying to cut the skin off.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, I told you this, right? So I made like a salad, a slaw,
yeah,
and I did not peel the outer skin.
I think I ate that salad.
You did.
And I did not notice, but there was like other veggies in it. And I think it was also in the dressing for a bit, so it softened.
And the lemon cucumber, should we treat this as a regular cucumber?
Absolutely. I think I love cucumbers, and I just grew up eating them just, you know, cut up with salt and out of hand. So I think that's the way to go with cucumbers, or you can make pickles with them. I've been pickling a lot this summer.
So what do you suggest when folks don't have time to research online or go to their bookshelf to look for recipes and then get all this stuff from their CSA or CSA, aka Community Supported Agriculture, or from the farmer's market. What should folks do? You mentioned something about olive oil earlier.
I think for most vegetables, you're pretty safe sauteing with olive oil, garlic, some salt, and that'll actually give you a really good idea of what the vegetable actually tastes like. And then from then on, you can like experiment
going forward. So I don't have to go online. People don't have to go online every time.
You don't have to. And if you're getting vegetables from the farmer's market, you should ask. If you're at a farm stand and you look at something, like the first time I saw Romanesco, I was like, this is beautiful. What do I do with it? And either people at the farm stand, like other customers, will be like, oh, I use this for that or whatever, or talk to the people selling the produce.
Okay, so I have a funny story, Marina. Not until last year that I actually heard the term zooks for zucchini. And I'm like, is this like a Northeastern thing? I never heard of that.
I actually don't say that ever.
I saw it in print, but I never.
I think that New Yorkers in general put a premium on their time and try to shorten everything possible. I grew up in the north. I grew up in the tri-state. Like, we, Bloomingdale's was Bloomies, BMWs are Beamers.
Okay, so maybe that explains it. Okay, so back to the zucchinis.
Yes. Oh, zucchini.
Yeah. So actually, while I was very excited that you were coming on the show, because you posted it on your personal Facebook page, like, hey, I just got 5 pounds of zucchini. And I'm like, oh, gosh.
Yes.
I've had so many zucchinis with my CSA share this summer. What did you finally make, and what do you suggest to folks at home?
I have made several things with my zucchini. I started out just roasting it or grilling it on my grill pan. And I got bored with that pretty quickly. Someone tweeted at me a recipe for chocolate zucchini cake, which was awesome. It turned out really moist and
okay,
really easy.
Dessert. Heather's shaking her head like, yes.
That one's on my blog.
But you were telling me about the zucchini cake. You were at home and you didn't have all the ingredients.
Yeah, I had not been grocery shopping for a bit, which is part of the dangers of having a CSA, because you feel like you don't need to go grocery shopping and then you realize you don't have olive oil or eggs. So I ended up doing a lot of substitutions. Like, I needed 2 eggs. I only had 1. So I substituted ground flax seeds, which is a little vegan trick that I know. I didn't have buttermilk, but I had whole milk, so I just soured the whole milk with lemon juice. That stuff I looked up. I don't know all that stuff offhand, but that is a Google thing.
It's a basic thing that any home cook that's at home and they have this stuff and they want to whip up a cake for the next day or for their kids' event and they don't have everything. We need to probably do a Google search.
Yeah, and it's totally, I am all for experimentation. I think it's really important to just get comfortable. The worst thing that'll happen is that it doesn't taste that good, and then you'll know.
So, speaking of kids, we talked about kids. Actually, I just mentioned kids. I know that you're a personal chef here in New York City, and you have a few clients that actually have kids. And I'm very curious, so what are the 3 most requested summer meals for that the families request?
Well, there's
for kids.
For kids, kids are picky. From what I see, at least American born kids are picky. I was raised by immigrants, so I ate whatever was put in front of me. But I've been doing a lot of like veggie burgers and fish burgers and just stuff that's like easy to eat, and you could kind of hide a bunch of healthy ingredients in it that, you know, aren't necessarily detectable.
Is this stuff that the home cook will be excited about making at home, these burgers?
I think so. I mean, they're pretty tasty.
So can you pre-make these burgers and put them in the freezer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You could pre-make them, put them in the freezer, like,
so that,
and then have them ready, like, in a Ziploc bag or something, or in a Tupperware, and then, like, defrost them, cook, bake them, grill them.
Okay, so before you go, we have probably about 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. I've never asked you this, but I'm going to ask you now. Mm-hmm. Can I get a picture? I want to get a picture of your salt shaker.
Sure.
Her tattoo.
Yes.
Let me see. Yeah, we have to. Yes, yes. You'll be the second guest, Ed, from Ed's Lobster Bar.
Mm-hmm.
I have a picture. He has a big, huge lobster.
Nice.
So I have to get a picture of that. And I love the salt shaker because you have a new project that you've been working on. I want you to tell folks how they can get more information about the Salt Salon.
Salt Salon is a project that I've been working on for the past 2 months and hope to be doing for at least the next year. I used to work in the arts, so it's a combination of my old life and my new life as a chef. And it's an art and culinary salon, so I invite writers, performance artists, poets into my house to perform their work, preferably kind of experimental work that they're working on. And I do cooking based on either the person's work or what I know from their background, and kind of just use the artist as my inspiration, as my culinary inspiration. And so that you could find out more information on Twitter at Salt Salon. Or saltsalon.wordpress.com.
Cool beans. So, yeah. So, I'm going to take a picture of your salt shaker and put it up so folks can see that.
Excellent.
Marina, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having
me. Back to Hot Grease, giving us some tips on what to do with our CSA shares and stuff that we see at the farmer's market. Have a great summer, Marina.
You too, Nicole.
And listeners, thank you again for listening to Hot Grease. Join me here every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Finger on the Pulse and City Winery are proud to present the Summer Barbecue Blowout Festival, August 6th, from noon to 4 p.m. The barbecue is happening at City Winery, located at 155 Varick Street in New York City. Restaurants featured at this event are Empire Mayonnaise, Van Dag, Momofuku Milk Bar, Imperial No. 9, Mile End, Mexi-Q, Kraft, Dizzy's Club, Coca-Cola, The Meatball Shop, and Dos Toros. Providing the soundtrack for the day are Midnight Magic, Computer Magic, New Villager, Punches, Ducky, DJ Autobot, and the Snacky Tune DJ. VIP and general admission tickets are available at citywinery.com. Finger on the Pulse of City Winery would like to thank our sponsors, Heritage Foods USA, New York Magazine, Reka Vodka, Sonar, Smile, Guilt City, Sub-Zero, and Wolf. Please come out and join us for a day of fun, food, and dancing. For more information, go to www.fotpnyc.com.